Good morning. The song I've chosen to sing this morning is like Kimona virus. It's a storm, and I just pray that it will pass over. Sing with me the first and second, third verses, please.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of the hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright place for morn. In the land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds go forever from the sky. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Hymn 693, A Shelter in This Time of Storm.
In the time of storm, secure at every betide, a shelter in the time of storms. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary. Shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. O Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Well, we're going to be meeting again, the council will, on the this Wednesday, so just be praying for us as we consider when and how to open church back up. And we're hoping that you all are giving us feedback and sending those different questions or how you think we should do it. We want to hear this, class, you know, whether it's Sunday school or church or whatever it might be. But please get back with us on it. Don't also forget to keep checking the prayer things. We have a couple of family members, of church members who have got COVID. We want to continue to pray for them. We have others who have gone in with chest pains and have health issues, so continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for Kay and Tommy and others, the serious situations that they're in. If you remember, we started a couple of weeks ago on a little series, just 2 or 3 weeks, talking about new beginnings. If you remember, we looked at the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt. They were told to leave in the middle of the night. Very chaotic, 2 million people leaving at one time. But the Lord was with them, leading them by the pillar and the cloud. But it was a chaotic time, very similar to what we're going through right now as a nation and as a church with all this COVID stuff. A little later on, remember, we saw that they had a course with which to take, and God didn't take them to the northern course because they weren't really ready to face the Philistines yet. He took them the southern course, and as he was leading them, he intentionally brought them to face different challenges. And if you remember, one of the challenges you had was with Pharaoh coming from behind and water in front, and they had to trust the Lord to walk out in the water, and God took care of Pharaoh. He also had choices to make along the way, and God was directing them, and he knew they'd be out of water. And were they going to trust him, or were they going to complain? Just like you and I have to do, we have the same thing. They also were without food, and God brought them manna. He was testing them. And God will test us along the way to see if we're going to follow him or what our situations are. And so we have the choices that we have to make then as the challenges and the chaos, and we're doing the same here at Dalton Hill, and ask you all to continue to pray for us. If you remember last week, we looked at, since it was Mother's Day, and we're going to be, remember we saw the one with Mary, and she had altered plans. Her personal plans were to marry Joseph and live happily ever after, in so many words, as we often say. But God had different plans, and obviously it was interesting how Mary just accepted his plans and placed God's plans above her own and accepted those. And she paid a great price so far as the ridicule she had, the family members not believing, and seeing Christ dying on the cross, a tremendous price that she paid. But the prize that she got for following God's plan and being willing to is obviously not only her own sins being forgiven, Christ's death on the cross, but seeing him resurrected and seeing her family turn in belief to him. And altered plans, and are we willing just now, our plans at church, obviously we're not to have things going like they are right now. How are we going to accept the altered plans, and now what does he want us to do? And so that takes us then to what I was wanting to look at again on the new beginnings, just looking at, again, from the children of Israel, where we left off, if you're in chapter 17 and then in 18 of Exodus. And what you have in chapter 18, it talks about how Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came to visit. And it starts off in verse 13 of chapter 18 of Exodus, and it says that it came about the next day that Moses sat in to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning until evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he says, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you do it alone, sit as judge, and all the people stand about you from morning until evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and to make known the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." So notice then the problem was he was trying to do it all by himself. And so then the solution then starts in verse 19. He needs partners. And notice he's then said, "Now listen, I shall give you the counsel and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and to make them known to them in a way in which they are to walk, and the work they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain. You shall place them over them as leaders of thousands, hundreds, and of fifties, and of tens. And then let them judge all the minor disputes and only bring the major ones to them. And so I think it's interesting that you have division of responsibility. Moses couldn't do it alone and needed partners. And when they did that, Moses, in verse 24, listened and then divided the responsibilities up, and a lot more people were served, and things went much better. It makes me think of divisions of responsibility. A question we can all ask is, am I spread out too thin, to doing too many things? Do I need help? And if we're thinking about that, one question we can ask ourselves, am I willing to share the lead with others? Am I willing to give up some of the things I'm doing? Or I can ask, am I willing to help those who are carrying too much? The question we can all ask ourselves and really prayerfully look at is, which ones should I give up, or which ones should I help with? And am I open to having somebody help? It reminds me when I was doing my yards, I used to do all the weed eating and do all the trimming by myself. And what happened, the guys would finish mowing and they'd be waiting on me. And I had to realize that I had to teach them how to do that as well so that we could all finish at the same time. So thinking about the first thing is just a division of responsibility. Let's all partner together. What parts can each one of us do and do we want to do? The second thing you have, I think, is interesting when you get into chapter 19, was some decisions they had to make, and God makes a covenant with them. And notice in verse 5, the decision: if indeed you will obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be my possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you will speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called all the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. It's interesting, we have the same thing. You think about it, we have the word of God that's been given to us, a lot of different things that we have. We have decisions we have to make too. A couple of verses that come to my mind is in Luke 9:23, when it said that Christ says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So we'd have to, each day, who's going to run my life, and am I willing to follow Christ? A great place to look at this, things to give up or priorities, is in Luke 14:25-35, when it shows, talking about Christ being first and foremost, and so on. So a great thing to look at. Second one I think comes to my mind is in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, when it talks about you've been bought with a price, Christ's death on the cross. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So I'm free to do things, but because of what he's done for me, I willingly give up things and follow what he wants me to do. So we likewise have decisions to make. And a question we can ask, am I willing to make Christ number one in my life and follow him completely? And as we're all apart, right now it's easy to get sidetracked, but we need to continue to make him number one in our life as we go forward. In chapter 20, we know very well the declarations. So when he starts in 20 and goes on to the next few chapters, and we know it of the Ten Commandments. God's given us commandments to the Old Testament and to the Jewish people. But Christ likewise talked about when he was asked to summarize the law, and we likewise have that too, is that summarizing what we need to be doing is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and to love thy neighbor as ourself. And we likewise have that same commands that you and I are given. But some other commands that we're given is the declarations that we have. We think about it in Matthew 28:19-20, and it talks about going to all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. And so we're given a command to make disciples. And when we stand before him one day, I'm sure that'll be a question that he's going to ask us. You have the 1 Corinthians 4, if you remember, Paul's speaking. He says, let a man regard us as servants and stewards of the word of God. You know, as a steward or an ambassador, we're representing Christ, and as a servant, we do whatever he tells us to do. And again, those are declarations, what we're supposed to be doing, so how well are we doing it? When you get into 2 Corinthians 5, it says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation in verse 19. In fact, it even says we are Christ's representatives on this earth. And so as an ambassador, when people see us, they should be seeing Christ. And what we do should be doing what Christ would be doing if he was here. So again, it's interesting when we look at the declarations. Do I see the commandments of scriptures as optional or directives? You know, I think it's interesting. You stop and think about it. So here we have the commands that we have. But what we've seen so far then just today is the divisions of responsibilities. Am I willing to give it up? Am I willing to help out? And as the vision team's been putting things together, we're trying to put together where we want to be going and what we want to be doing at Dalton Hill. And we're hoping that all of us will see what part we have, what part of responsibility we can do. And together we all pull as a team together. We have decisions, obviously, that we need to be making and following Christ and the declarations of following the Word of God. But in the middle of it, too, I think the children of Israel, as they're following it, it's interesting when you get into chapter 32, then, is that of a derailment. And it's so easy, I think, as we're all apart right now. We get apart. Moses was gone. He was up on the mountain getting the law, and Joshua was not there. It's easy for when people are not meeting, and we're not in the Word of God as we should be, and we're not doing the things that we could be, fellowship, that we can easily get derailed. In chapter 32, then you'll notice that Israelites got derailed when they didn't have Moses to lead them, or Joshua for that matter. And what happened, their eyes, notice in verse 1, when Moses was delayed, it says they come to Aaron and said, come make us a God who will go before us. For it. As for this Moses, a man who brought us from Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Notice their eyes were on man. They still had the pillar and the cloud to direct them. And so they took their eyes off of where God is and what God was directing them, putting their eyes on man. And we can likewise easily do that. They also, forgot about the covenant that they had just got through making, that they were going to follow God completely. And you and I can easily forget about the covenants that we have made with God and with each other and easily do it. And notice they're asking then, and Aaron tells them to take off the earrings, and he's going to make him a calf out of gold, which would be going back to their old way of life that they had when they were in Egypt. And so often you and I can likewise, we get away from the Word of God and fellowship and other things, we can fall back into old habits and the old way of life. And so the derailment, the reasons we've seen so far here is that one of their eyes were on man, they forgot their covenant, they returned to their old ways of life. And I think the fourth reason they did it is when you get down a little bit further. When you get down to verse 23, Aaron is speaking, and he's speaking to Moses, trying to defend himself, and he says, do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself, they are prone to evil. For they said to me, make a God for us who will go before us, for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has gold, let him tear it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. Obviously, if you throw gold in a fire, it's not going to come out as a calf. You're going to have to make it that way. And Aaron is not the leader that he should have been. But if you go on, notice in verse 25, it says, now Moses saw that the people were out of control. And then notice, quote, for Aaron had let them get out of control to a derision among their enemies. And so I noticed the fourth one is the reason of derailment was lack of leadership. And it's easy for, when you don't have a leadership, as Proverbs tells us, without vision, people perish. And Aaron should have kept him on course. Instead, he gave in to him. And they then obviously were derailed. And you see the great sin that they committed then in this chapter. The response, I think, is good, because all of us can get derailed at different times. Get angry, forget, decide not to do different things the Lord wants us to do. But when we are derailed, how to get us back on course. And it's interesting when you get to see what happens in 32, starting in verse 11, you find the intercession by Moses. Moses intercedes for them. And then in chapter 33, you find the people themselves repent. And I think the same thing is true for you and I. We need to intercede for those who we see that are stumbling and help them along the way. And if we're ones that are, we likewise need people to intercede for us. And then we likewise need to repent. Those that are doing it, they repented, and Moses interceded. We do the same. So think about it on this derailment. The question we can ask is, do I need to intercede for a brother or sister in Christ? Or maybe in light of God's word, what do I need to confess? Am I taking my eyes off of God and putting on man? Am I forgetting the covenant I've made? Am I returning to my old way of life? And so I can easily get derailed as well. As Hebrews tells us to fix our eyes on Christ and not on circumstances, like just like with Peter in chapter 14, if you remember Matthew, when he was walking on water until he looked at the circumstances of the water and started to sink. So not only the derailment, I think the last part that we have just for today would be that of directives. When you get into chapter 35 of Exodus, they're given the directives in verse 1 to 4, that of working 6 days and resting on the seventh, in the verse 1 to verse 4 of chapter 35. And then they're going to start a tabernacle. And starting in verse 5 down through 29, he starts asking for contributions. And it's interesting when you look at this, what is being said, like in verse 5, take from among you a contribution of the Lord, whoever is a willing heart. You get to verse 21, and everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought to the Lord contributions. And 22, all those whose heart moved within them. In verse 29, the Israelites and all the men and women whose heart moved to bring materials. And I think it's true. It's interesting that they had, previous chapter, they had intercession and they had repentance. And now that they're walking with the Lord as they should, they're now just being asked to give as they want. And whatever they have, they give from a willing heart. And not under coercion, but like we have in 2 Corinthians as well, in 8 and 9. But they're giving willingly, and they're giving what they have. And in the chapter, it shows what each person was giving from what they had. But not only did they have contributions, but you also had to have craftsmen in order to build the tabernacle. And in verse 30 of chapter 35 of Exodus, then Moses said to the sons of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Beelzebul, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and an understanding and a knowledge and all craftsmanship to make designs. And notice he, in verse 34, then he also called a second one, a partner to help him. And then it goes on a little bit further, and it says in verse 2 of chapter 36, and everyone whose heart stirred came to work. So you had those who had the ability, that the Holy Spirit had given them the ability to work with their hands to make these things. And then you had those who were willing to give the materials to make these things. So the directive was to not only to keep the Lord's the seventh day, the Sabbath, but then also to build a tabernacle. And so people took those commands and they willingly contributed. And then they had those who were then doing the work. And one of the most amazing things, it says that they come to him talking about in the craftsmen, and all this in verse 4, and said, all the skilled men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came each from the work which he was performing. And they said to Moses, "The people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform." So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman any longer perform work for the contribution of the sanctuary." Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more, for the material was sufficient, more than enough for all the work to be performed. It's amazing that they had to be asked to stop giving because they had enough. When people give from a willing heart, there is an ample supply. I think it's interesting, what do I have that the Lord wants me to give? An interesting question. Or how might the Lord want me to use the skills that He's given me, the different gifts? We need both. We need those to contributing, and we need those who have the gifts with which to perform them. So just as we look back then over this, the children of Israel, a little bit that we saw today on the new beginning, we need a division of responsibility. We need each, not one person doing everything, but that we then can ask ourselves, is there something I need to give up, or is there something that I need to help someone else out by relieving them of some of their duties to help them along the way? Obviously, a decision we have to make is, am I willing to make Christ number one in my life, just like they had to make a covenant with Israel did to follow the Lord? And the direction then, obviously, was to follow the commands, and you and I have commands that you and I likewise need to follow and make Christ number one. And the danger is, we're all apart or at any time, is that of being derailed, putting our eyes on man or turning to our own way of life. But instead, we need to intercede for our brother or sister who are struggling, or in light of God's word, is there something I need to confess? So as we look at it then, the directives then, what does God want me to give? What does He want me to do? How does He want me to serve? And what part does He want me to have? And so in this new beginning, as we come back together, we want to think about just what part can we do, how to do it, and how we want to help somebody else to serve along with us. So they will do it differently than we will, but we are still getting the task done. So let's just think about how God wants us to do it today.
The longer I serve Him. Number 520, we're saying both verses, please.
The sweet.